This Israel Report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
7:47. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your morning mayhem. Let's get straight to the Israel Report this morning with Lieutenant Colonel Morris Hirsch. A very good morning. Thank you for joining us. I hope you're well.
Good morning. How are you doing?
All good, thank you. Let's just start with this, the Strait of Hormuz. Apparently, a ship was struck by Iran. So how is the ceasefire going?
Well, so I think what we're seeing at the moment is probably the birth pangs of this new memorandum of understanding, seeing how it works. And Iran will be constantly, I believe, trying to push the boundaries to see how far it can actually operate before any type of consequences are imposed. Iran, and we know Iran, they have no bona fides intentions. Their goal is to ensure that they get maximum money, whether from usage of the Straits of Hormuz or the released funds, and give away minimum assets or minimum demand. So that's where we are. I think there's going to be a concerted effort by everybody, the Iranians to push the boundaries, the Americans to ignore as much as possible potential breaches so that they can move forward. And that's what we'll see for the next few months.
So is this likely, from what you're saying, it's unlikely to make any real dent in the so-called peace agreement?
You're right. I believe that the Iranians have understood that the Trump administration isn't interested in a conflict at the moment, and that they have a few months, at least until the midterm elections, to push those boundaries, and so they will do that. Why not take the opportunity that they've been given to abuse the entire system? That's from their point of view, and from the US point of view, it hasn't changed.
Because what doesn't make sense to me is simply why, you know, it can't be a mistake attacking any vessel, because nobody should be shooting anything at anybody. So now you've gone and you've attacked a vessel. Surely, you know, an explanation would be in order, but no one seems to be demanding one.
Also, I think we have to understand that there are really no mistakes in this conflict at the moment. Mistakes happen in war when there's intense fighting and possibly a mistaken identities. But at this stage of the game, we're seeing specific actions taken by after really a complete and thorough thought process. And so to assume that it's just a mistake, I think would be erroneous. We're talking about a deliberate move by the Iranians in order to show that they have the ability to enforce their will on what happens going through the Straits of Hormuz, and in order to show their, as it were, displeasure with whatever everyone else is doing. That's the way they conduct their affairs.
According to the Wall Street Journal, the U.S. is considering relocating some of the Gulf bases that have been damaged by Iran to Israel. Is this this verified?
So I don't know exactly to say what bases are being considered to be moved. I think anyone who follows the news has seen that there is, for example, when you fly in or fly out of Ben Gurion, there are dozens of U.S. Air Force jets and planes located at Ben Gurion. This is something which we've seen for the last couple of months. And I would assume that there is a long-term plan to find an alternative to that situation, because they can't stay at Ben-Gurion for much longer. And on the one hand, and on the other hand, you have these Gulf bases that have come under tremendous attack by the Iranians, and the Gulf countries possibly expressing somewhat dismay that they weren't defended to the extent that they thought they would be. And the fact that, well, the war has, as it were, ended before Iran has been defeated, and they would be exposed again. So maybe they're losing out doubly for having those bases. And I think Israel would be more willing and more able to host them with less of the repercussions.
Yeah, and certainly being able to defend it a lot better than perhaps some of the other states.
Yeah, without question. And strangely enough, whilst there are U.S. Military assets in not a small amount of Gulf countries and Middle Eastern countries, there isn't one in Israel, or there hasn't been one in Israel until now.
It's so interesting,
and that
really
because is a substantial move.
Yeah, it's so interesting because, as you know, we talk and everybody's concerned about this. The chasm that is forming supposedly between the United States and Israel, and I'm not sure I'm buying any of it, by the way, but that this chasm is forming and Trump is critical and Vance is even more critical. But at the same time, you know, on the ground, if you're moving bases there, that says that tells you the story is quite the opposite, actually.
Well, I think there's really a few different goals for these U.S. bases. Some of them is just local investment, because it does bring in a lot of money into those countries. I think some of it is actually creating that political connection between the countries, even if the immediate political affiliation isn't that clear. Having a base in Saudi Arabia is a statement by the U.S. that we are here, as opposed to allowing what would have possibly been a USSR base to be established in Saudi Arabia. So that really is both a political and a military statement. And the same would be true of Israel, of course. And I think you're right. Whilst there may be political differences between the leaderships of Israel and America, I think on a military basis. There is a very much growing connection between the two militaries, and I think mutual respect. So that's something which would also obviously be part of that equation.
Let's just talk about the funds, the frozen funds that Iran has, and that obviously it is looking to be unfrozen. What is the latest on this in terms of what it can or can't and might be used for?
Well, so here I fear that that we're a little bit trying to understand a picture which is very, very cloudy. It isn't exactly clear as to when those funds will be released, how they will be released, through what mechanism they will be released. And then you have the declarations of President Trump that the money that will be released will be used to buy agricultural products in the US. A sort of excuse to try and mitigate the damage that the funds are being released. It is unclear at this basis at this time, but we do have to understand that Iran is a country that suffers from tremendous water shortage. It's a country that imports 90% of its foodstuffs and its agricultural products. So it's not unreasonable to expect that they will be importing a lot of things. Whether it will come necessarily from the US remains to be seen.
Yeah, it's but we are used to that concept because in terms of some of the aid to Israel, isn't there a requirement that that it is used for to buy military equipment from the United States?
Well, that's exactly it. The aid package, which, and if it's if you remember, the aid package that we're discussing now was really the outgoing or one of the outgoing gifts, as it were, of President Obama, the 10-year $38 billion aid package, which was all contingent on spending that money in the U.S. So it was really the U.S. government funding armaments and other military equipment to U.S. companies rather than anything else. Whereas with the aid, what we're talking about is ostensibly, or with the Iranians, what we're talking about is Iranian money that it would seem that they are being forced to spend in America rather than anywhere else. So whether the Iranians will agree to that, will actually implement that solution will be very much dependent on the mechanism that's implemented to release the funds. Because if they if they just receive the funds without that limitation,
yeah, well then we know exactly where it will go.
Some interpretations of the MOU do suggest that that's the case. Then it's very unlikely that they will spend that money in the U.S.
Absolutely, or on anything positive. Finally, we've only got 3 minutes, but I do want to ask you about the latest with regard to the U.S.-mediated Israel-Lebanon peace talks. Where are we? I believe that we're about 3 days or 4 days in.
Yes, indeed. I think there's always been great positivity there along the way. The Lebanese have at least shown, the Lebanese government has been talking all of the right talk in order to move forward. Israel is obviously interested in a peace agreement with Lebanon, expanding the Abraham Accords. And from that point of view, it's all wonderful. The bad news is that Lebanon will never be part of the Abraham Accords. The Lebanese people do not want peace with Israel. Hezbollah and Iran are undermining any opportunity for that peace to be achieved. And even an agreement with a Lebanese government, which really isn't worth the paper it's written on, because the Lebanese government claims to be incapable of doing anything with Hezbollah. So what and how would they enforce that peace agreement is a whole different story. So I think we're seeing a lot of a lot of discussions, a lot of positivity that will, I fear, come out to be absolutely nothing.
That is where we do need to leave it. Thank you, as always, and wishing you a fantastic weekend and a Shabbat Shalom. That was Lieutenant Colonel Morris Hirsch from the Jerusalem Center for Security and Foreign Affairs.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.